Excellent. Boop, boop, boop. Robot and the Bear. Boop, boop. You know, I created Robot and the Bear music. I think
I you sent it to me, yes.
yes. I don't think
We'll put that on the maybe we'll put it on this one.
put it on afterwards. I think it's
Oh
pretty
yeah, maybe
funny.
at the end. We just have to play it through the radio. Yeah, I think we can set it up correctly, but or you can play it now. Looks like you want to play it now.
I'm just playing it now because I think it's hilarious. And but
Have you started it yet?
you hear it?
No.
Now, the microphone,
No,
is
I
this
can't hear
microphone
it.
working?
Yeah, sure.
You hear it? No?
What was that?
Oh, I
Oh, I
guess it's
see.
like
It doesn't
maybe.
sound, it sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm sure it
Yeah.
does. It's the.
I just heard t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t.
Oh, that's weird.
Robot, bear, robot. That's all I could hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. Robot and the Bear.
Robot and the
Episode
Bear.
number 91 underway.
91.
I
So,
believe
wait.
it's 91.
Wow.
I believe it's
91.
91. It could be 92, but I think it's 91.
Yeah, don't you have like a link somewhere or a web page somewhere where you just kind of like update it with every upload?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
have to put that on there because A, it's free, but also when you upload it there, it migrates everything, or it just automatically puts everything to like iTunes and something. I don't know what else it does, but
Oh.
yeah, it's on automatic because if you put it somewhere else, it may just sit there. So this one is kind of an automatic.
I see. I
Yeah.
see.
Yep. It's a Squarespace website, so I think Squarespace automatically will put it onto like streaming services.
Do you like Squarespace?
No, but I mean it. I have it, so I was just like, well, I'll use it for Rod and the Bear too, because I'm
Well.
already paying for it for myself.
Oh, okay. What do you
Yeah.
usually post on there?
It's nothing. It's just ericnakamura.com.
Do you don't post your photos?
Not really. I just have a I update a few things up in, like on there, but not too much. Just like stuff that I've done or whatever. It's almost like a portfolio page.
Oh, okay. So, like, is this an online, like, an online resume of sorts?
Up or down? I was told that you're too loud.
Oh my! Here, I could turn it down on my
See?
end.
See? You turned it up just because you're like, me. My volume's not high enough.
I
I
know
need to be higher.
I need to
And
be
now it's too
louder.
high. Now it's higher. And then it's ruining it all.
I need to dominate the conversation. How do I sound
See?
now?
Ruined it. I don't know.
I don't know.
It sounds fine to me, but I don't think there was ever a problem. But somebody out there didn't like it. So whatever.
Yeah, I saw a someone say on
But hey, don't. Maybe it's their shitty speaker.
Oh, maybe,
Yeah.
you know,
Yeah. It
but
might be their
like,
shitty ass speaker, so there.
we need to take into consideration these things. Let me see. Well, let's
Oh,
see.
so you read every review? Luke Chew sucks. Luke Chew sucks. And then it's like, oh, my mom suck. Oh
Oh, I'm sensitive. Mavros said the podcast.
Who the fuck's that?
I'm not sure, but they're li
Oh.
apparently listen. And you know, being that they're one of maybe like six people, I care about them. And
No.
they say, I'm having some trouble. Is the volume really low for everyone or just me?
Oh, see,
Yeah.
then it's just them. So you just turned yourself up and not me. Just that makes no sense. Is it the entire volume or is it just me? Looks like I better just turn myself
I
up.
better just turn myself up.
He turned himself up too high. That's hilarious. Okay, I love it. Looks like
Wait.
I better turn myself up. I'm not going to tell you to turn you up. Just me.
Look, I noticed that there was something. I heard some. I kind of glanced over it and said volume, and then I,
And then you
just
didn't share
took.
with me,
And
didn't say what it was or anything.
well, I'm sure.
Anyway, okay, thank
Anyways,
you so much.
so
Thank you so much, Luke.
it's been a busy week here for the robot and I guess the bear.
That's hilarious.
Eric, tell us about your week. Tell us
The
about
week. So we had Yukinori Deihara show at Giant Robot 2, and he flew into Giant or flew into Los Angeles and basically put up a kind of one of his classic style kind of Sofubi looking shows where but it's actually all sculpted figures.
Mm.
but he kind of makes them look like Sofubi. And then there's some of it is Sofubi, but because we had Sofubi figures. But I mean, a lot of it is just his work in his paper clay style, which is kind of something that he's actually kind of stepped away from it from a second, and then now he's back on it.
Oh, really?
Well, he was doing like custom Sofubi and stuff like that. And then now he's back to making his paper clay sculptures, which is really cool.
I like the paper. I like the paper clay stuff. I like the fact that like he makes the effort into like designing like this really consistent and cohesive packaging design that.
Yeah. He's trying to make it look like a toy, right?
Right. And
I think that's the idea. He's trying to make it look like a, as if it's a product, but it's actually art.
I think I went to the opening. It's a great show. I think, you know, Dahara's just, he never like, he always steps up. He always like brings the heat, you know, for his shows in my opinion.
Sure.
I think this year's show kind of revolved around an OL or an office lady character, a particularly tall one. I don't remember the name of the character though.
Something Dejima. I forgot the name too. Something Idejima or something like that. It was like an odd last name, kind of. I was kind of like, oh, that's not a normal last name. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he tried to make a character or a new character, who is, yes, basically, what is it, 6'1.5"
Yeah, 6'1", 0.7 or 0.1. Yeah, 1.7 or something like that.
So I asked him why, you know, and he said occasionally in Tokyo or maybe in Japan, he said he sees one. Like he'll see an office lady, which I guess is, just think office lady is like this strange term. And all it really signifies is you have a job in an office. You're sort of like an office worker. You make tea or coffee. And my guess is you push papers. You're just in a cubicle and, you know, or something like that. Or there's no cubicle. You're just kind of like an assistant, all around office assistant. But yeah, this one is really tall. But he said he would see sometimes he would see one who's just freakishly tall. And he'd be like wondering what's their life like.
Well,
so I think that's what made his imagination take off and create a character. And he kind of he has a video that kind of explains it a bit.
There are posters on one side of the wall that like showcased like some photographs of, you know, his sculpts, and like the story was in French, which was interesting. Fortunately, Rachel, my girlfriend, came along with me, and she has an elementary school level understanding of French and was able to kind of translate, because we didn't make it to the video, which is tucked in the opposite corner of the gallery. And it basically explains how this office lady is in love with, is kind of a foodie. She eats sushi once a week, and she's in love with the sushi chef, who is also a robot.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's controlled by that older sushi chef, who is basically almost like a zombie.
Oh, okay.
Because he's like super old, and then, yeah, he has a remote control, and he controls that sushi chef, the mechanical sushi chef.
Like the robot sushi chef has a knife hand.
Yes.
And I think the thing that gives away that it's a robot is the lines underneath the mouth, which for the chin to give it that puppet look. And then she loves watching horror films and like takes notes on like the horrific ways some of these characters die.
Yeah, or I think how one can kill people.
Yeah. And then whenever she gets negged at the office, you know, she envisions the coworker, I guess, dying in these horrific ways.
Yeah, and I think she doesn't want to be an office lady. And she although she is tall, she has no athletic ability. I think that's another trait. Yeah, and she there is another office lady who likes being an office lady. There, it's just yet another side character. And there's like I think there's an office manager, a salary man. There's like all these other side characters too. But her job, or the job of that company, is they have this is really strange. They get boxes, and their job is to put it in another box and ship it. So they actually technically don't know what's inside of that box, but then what actually is in the box
box.
is a plush doll for seniors, I think. It's some kind of a plush doll for seniors, and I forgot what it does, like it talks or something. But like, because a package breaks open, and then they're like, "Holy shit, this is what's in here."
I didn't catch something. I missed some of those details because there are some like figures, sculptures of the box. And I remember
And it's
seeing
ripped
one.
open, and there's like a little plushy character, and it's for senior citizens, evidently. But yeah, but their job is just to ship it. They don't even know what's in there.
And then there was a cat for some reason. I don't even know what
Yeah, I
the
don't
cat's
either.
role.
I don't know either, because the cat's blue, and that other thing looks like a plushy animal, but it's not blue, so that's not the cat. So I'm a little confused too. I don't know. Yeah.
Like I said,
But
Dahara.
I mean, just think, that's a whole like a universe he creates, right? Just conceptually,
Right.
for an exhibition, or for maybe that'll have this long, it'll have a future for him to like make Sofubi of certain characters. And again, it's just like opening yet another book of craziness that's going to turn into more a years of Sofubi making,
Well,
probably.
he's great because like all of his like work is essentially this kind of like fucked up commentary about Japanese work culture. And the ironic thing is that he's not really a part of that at all, since he's full-timing, the art and toy thing, right? So.
But I think, was there a moment? Gosh, I forgot. So, I mean, from many interviews, I almost feel like he might have had to try to be a like a, the very beginning of his career, or before his career, he might have like had to be do some salary man style work or something like that. Yeah, but it is a because times have changed, salary man culture's just changed too. So some of his stuff is sort of retro. As it's going along, like things have changed, and when he started kind of making this commentary, I mean, it was a certain way, and then here it is 20 something years later, it's changed since then. But so he's depicting kind of a retro world.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Interesting.
it's because I think that when I think of the Japanese, office culture, obviously I don't know very much about it except for hearsay from, like different, anime or things like that. But I think one of the things that like I remember why I was watching on Netflix this Sanrio kind of anime called Agretsuko, which is, about like, people who working in this, like office and the office culture and stuff. And so I've kind of gleaned like a little bit off of that, obviously acknowledging the fact that like all of this is, exaggerated for entertainment purposes. But it definitely is, I imagine, kind of a meme within itself in Japan, right? Like oh, you hear about like black companies, which are this kind of like almost like office, like I don't know unhealthy office offices where they kind of work people to the nub and stuff like that. But I don't know. I haven't had a real office job since, I don't know, freaking for a while. Since the 90s, I think. Or maybe
Well,
the early 2000s.
keep it that way.
Yeah, I'm trying, buddy.
But yeah, so Dehara is But yeah, I mean, they're not always Office, because he did a whole thing on wrestling once, and he's
Yakuza kind of inspired stuff as well, right?
Yeah, so maybe it's somewhat societal and things of his interest, but yeah, it always sometimes has this weird link. I mean, he has done a yokai one. So yeah, I mean, they have a link to like culture somehow, and it might be a very strange link, but there's always some kind of a link to culture in a way. Like, you know, it's usually never just something right out of nowhere that makes no sense out of anything. I think that in that way, it's kind of interesting.
And then,
but it's, yeah, he's been doing this for what, 20, 30 years or something, 25 years, maybe something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how long have you known him?
I think between 15 and 20 years, maybe closer to 20.
Wow.
Yeah. I think I met him probably 20.
How did you meet him?
Yeah. I met him in Tokyo. I interviewed him for Giant Robot Magazine.
How did you hear about, you know, one of the last times I was in Japan, Dahara had like posters up in the subway that were like, you know, subway like related stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. So he's definitely doing like some kind of like commission work, you know, somehow.
Oh, I wonder what that was.
Yeah. And, but like, did you just catch wind of him from, you know, the Giant Robot days, or, you know, from the magazine days, or?
I am positive where I know where I saw it. I think I saw his work at, there was a store called Zaka in New York.
Okay.
And he had an exhibition there.
Mm.
And that was maybe, that's, you know, that before I had Giant Robot store. So, that's 25 years ago, perhaps.
Oh shit.
And he had a store, what do you call it? He had an exhibition there, but I missed it. And they had one, this is very New York. They had one of his pieces there, and I was like, oh shoot, I want to buy that. How much is that, type of thing? And of course, not for sale, you know, like it's so New York, right? Everything not for sale. So I remember that's where I first saw it. And, yeah, so I probably met him somewhere around 20 to 25 years ago, I guess. But and then the way I got hooked up with Dehara is through Raymond at Toy2R.
Oh, okay.
Because Toy2R, so I made an effort to get a hold of Dehara. I sent him messages, got ghosted, sent him an email, got ghosted. I saw his stuff once in Tokyo and Daikon Yama at a shop. Like stickers and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, there's this guy again. I like him. And I actually emailed him thinking I'm going to see him in Japan. And then got ghosted, right?
Ghosted.
And then finally Raymond set it up. You know, and I don't know if Raymond was close to Dehara, which I don't think so at all. But yeah, he had somebody he knew in Tokyo actually take me to Dehara's studio. And then I interviewed him.
I miss Tortuar. I always thought the key was Toy2R was a Hong Kong based company, and they produced one of the three big blind box platform toys. The three being the Bear Brick, the Key, and the Dunny, Dunny by Kid Robot. And the Key, I always thought was the superior design. Like, I've always felt that way about it, and I still feel that way. Like, whenever I see a Key figure, I'm just like, oh, that was great. And they really kind of blew up at around 2003-2004. I wonder what happened to him. I heard that, you know, Toy2R was kind of toxic, but you know, the fact
I know he was kind of right-wing China, although he lived in Hong Kong. And I think that probably, that's what I heard anyway. I don't know. That is just somebody, what somebody told me, because I haven't heard from him either. Like, I don't know where he went or what happened, but yeah, I've heard only that.
Right.
You know, the artists usually are probably not right-wing, at least in Hong Kong. So the artists were just like, oh, they don't, nothing good to say about him.
Yeah. You know, that's the Key was instrumental in my relationship with Monkey King, whom I rolled with, you know, all the way up. And, well, I mean, I still, I guess, technically roll with him, but like Monkey King isn't really so such a big deal anymore. And the story. Well, I mean, like, you know, Patrick
from Monkey King, just not a big deal anymore.
Well, Patrick,
Monkey King, not a big deal anymore.
That's terrible. I'm terrible.
Yes.
No, but like Monkey King isn't really.
It's not a big deal anymore.
It's not producing big deal stuff anymore. You know, so, you know, that's why I self-produced my last figure.
Yeah. Well, was Omi the Omi thing not part of the four main platform toys?
Not even close.
Oh, okay. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Give him a chance. You just shot it down.
I'm blunt like that, you know.
You could have said, yeah, you know, I tried it, blah 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 blah. Instead, you said no.
Not even close, bro. Not even close.
Okay. Anyways, no, I understand. That's hard to do. But yeah, so Raymond Choi at Toy 2R was amazing.
Yeah.
At least when Toy 2R was on fire, that was something that we sold a lot of keys actually at Giant Robot.
Mm.
Yeah, it was pretty popular. I mean, we sold a lot because I think part of it was maybe there was a lot of exclusivity with Bear Brick, and I feel like Toy 2R was less exclusive, like you are not cool enough type of thing. You know, it's like I think he just followed the cash. He was like, what, you're gonna pay? Okay, you can have some of this. Whereas Bear Bricks were like, no, you're just not cool enough. You can't.
I don't even
Money's not green enough. Your money's not good enough. You can't have this.
I always kind of felt
like there was a little bit of that.
I always felt like Medicom was just like they just didn't care enough. You know, I think that they were really quite content with, you know, their Asian market. Like they have a huge presence in like probably Hong Kong, Taiwan, like Southeast Asia and stuff like that. And then, you know, dealing with America was just too big of a pain in the ass.
I'm not sure if that's true, but maybe. I don't know. Right. Like all I know is I had money and money and I wanted to give that money to them.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't want it.
You know,
because, it's like,
you know,
oh, it's not green
Robot
enough.
Is the coolest. I mean, you know, people.
I don't know about that. I don't know. Even back in the heyday, it still wasn't good enough. Aww. I still couldn't get stuff from them. But they did do stuff with other people, right?
I think that's, I don't know.
Right? I mean, aren't they doing decon stuff and all that stuff?
Well,
right?
the relationship that Medicom has with decon is pretty unique. I don't know whether or not I can say anything about it, but like, you know, it's, you know, like basically like Ben flies out to Japan, I think a couple times a year to, you know, foster and, you know, finesse that relationship. So, you know.
Oh, I didn't fly to Japan enough. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. You're not flying out.
They probably wouldn't even. They probably wouldn't even. They would be like, "Nope, sorry, we're out to lunch. You can't come." That's what happened.
You know, like
I actually interviewed him in Giant Robot at their offices and everything, and through all that, still wasn't good enough.
Still not good enough.
Nope, no, not at all. Yeah.
Like, you know, you just weren't showing your enthusiasm. I think that, like, you know, that, you know, you like to play it super cool, you know. You're like, you know, I'm like Giant Robot. You know, I may not be the biggest deal, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, and even then, I still couldn't get stuff.
And
so yeah,
like,
instead of
kowtowing to freaking, you know, the CEO and going, you know,
who
Medicom
is the CEO? Yeah. I don't even know who
like,
that is.
I love it, the cause so cool.
That is hilarious! Wow, the accent is spot on. That accent is just on fire.
Oh,
speaking of accents, Raymond from Toy 2R, it was interesting because of his kind of, was it Cantonese English?
Right.
And his accent was thick. Mm-hmm. I learned, it because I interviewed him for Giant Robot and I talked to him, you know, I did business with him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know for a while what the heck he was saying. You know, and I realized after a while, the word vinyl.
Right.
Is vinyl. So he would say,
vinyl toy.
He would say designer wino, and I'm like, designer wino. I'm like, designer wino. Like, what is he saying? Designer vinyl, and it was designer wino. And I was like, designer wino. What?
Wow.
It took me a long time to go, oh, it's designer vinyl. Anyways, that, I thought that was kind of funny. We're all vinyl, vinyl toy, vinyl,
vinyl toy. Yeah. Well, yeah. So on Sunday you had a sculpt thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. So Dehara continued his little Los Angeles tour by doing a workshop, and which is where you could use the same kind of paper clay that he uses, and you can sculpt your own figure. And he kind of started it by showing us some hot tips. Like, his first off, he goes by Teacher D is his new nickname. Call me Teacher D.
Not Sensei. So, Sensei D.
No, Teacher D.
Teacher D.
Yeah. So he showed us some hot tips on how he makes his figures.
Well, he uses a paper clay that is generally not available in the United States.
Yes, it is. You can buy it on Amazon.
Oh, you can. Want. I can.
Yeah, I just ordered some.
Oh, okay. Last time the first time I was in Japan, I bought a couple bricks of paper clay, and with the intention, I bought a brick of white and a brick of black, just because I kind of, mm-hmm. It's just the easiest way to go. And I, like, that was freaking 10 years ago. I'm wondering whether or not those bricks are sitting in the refrigerator at my mom's place. So
all I know is you could buy them for like $10 or nine something on Amazon, whatever. So they exist.
They're probably cheaper in Japan.
Of course, they're about the equivalent of $5 or $4 in Japan. But yeah, it costs a little more. But if you make one good figure out of a whole pack, which you can make many, but if you make just one, wasn't it worth the $10?
You get the experience. You like burn through an entire afternoon.
Sure.
Did you have to cook them? Do you have to cook them in like a toaster oven or anything like that?
So
no.
Blow dryer. Yeah, so he used blow dryers to dry them enough where you could paint, and he said in about 3 to 5 days, he said this will be completely dry.
And I thought,
well, wait, if you put this paint on it, which is like an acrylic gouache, won't it seal it so it won't get air? But I guess he said no, it should be okay. That's what he does.
You know, the photo
he's kind of an expert we
posted to promote the show is actually an AI redrawing of a photo that you and I took, and you were holding a piece of like tuna nigiri, which you sculpted from that event, right?
I he handed me a piece of clay and said, hey, make something. So I was like, okay, I'll make a sushi piece, and and I just tried to make it look kind of realistic. But yeah, he kind of gave these hot tips on what to do. And I think the main one, and it was funny because we were all watching, and here's the hot tip. You're an artist. Maybe this is worth something. You know, you get your little piece of clay, and he splits the clay at the bottom, right? And that now you got two legs, right? Mm-hmm. Yay, right? Okay, that's easy. You just split at the bottom.
Right.
The top, though, he splits it into two more splits, so you have three pieces.
Right.
So now you have a figure. You have a figure with arms up and legs out, right?
Uh-huh.
And arms are up.
Okay.
Right. So just think of that.
Right.
In the past, like, how would you normally do it? You would take a piece of clay and you would make the arms down, right? That's kind of what everyone does. And you're basically carving the arms out of its body, right? Right.
So wait, hold it. Is it
no right? Imagine, but imagine, like, if you got a piece of clay, your logic tells you to cut the arms out of its body,
like that.
Yes. Okay. Right. So you're cutting like three equal parts on the top and basically two on the bottom, two legs on the top, two arms up, and then the middle one, he rolls it down and it turns into a head. So it's like three strips up, right? So he makes two arms up, two legs, and then he rolls the middle and it turns into a head. And we were just like, whoa. And then he said that, I think, and the logic in that is that if the arms are up, you can actually then fold them down, and now you have shoulders and everything. Whereas if you cut them, you're cutting him, like if you cut them and they're down, and that's how you start your figure, you're actually misshaping your own piece of clay because you're cutting. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot better to start with the arms up, actually. You're actually going to cut its body out of Yeah, arms out of its body, which makes no sense. Because now you're gonna have this, you're gonna have an indention where the arms are, right? Where the chest is and shit. It's actually fucked up. It was very slick. I was like, oh, of course this is better.
But like, is the reason why he's also doing it is it because the materials, like, do they have a hard time kind of sticking to each other? Like,
it is a little, but I mean, it's such a better way to do it though. Like, ultimately, because like now your arms are up. Now you could pose it how you want without like having to reshape the body, because the body is already straight up and down. Whereas if you cut it out, cut arms out from like, let's say a brick, right? You cut the arms out. Now your body's got a weird shape thing, indention thing going on, because you cut the arms out of its body. Whereas now if you just take a block and you turn the arms out of the top with a head, mm-hmm. you know, now you have the straight body all the way down. It's like, duh, it's such an easy, like, it's like, of course that's better. I never thought of that. Huh. And it's like, that was a hot tip, because when he did that, everyone was like, whoa. It was hilarious. Everybody was like, whoa, because it was like, that, of course. And he said that, of course, when you make it that way, from there, it's much easier to pose the whole shape than actually trying to sculpt something with the pose already made. Like, if you're sitting, yeah, I'm going to make a person sitting down, and you're starting to sculpt them sitting down. It's harder, he said, than actually starting with that thing with his arms up, and then you just start folding it up into a shape. He said that's much easier.
You know? Wow, that's a hot tip.
Yeah, very good. Big hot tip, because I think maybe your proportions are better, because if you sculpt somebody with them sitting down, you might make his legs like way too long, or you know what I'm saying? Or one arm might be way longer than the other, because like, let's say they're doing this, or, you know, and it's like, you're like, yeah, if you stretch that arm out, it'd be like a foot longer than the other arm.
Sure.
But, you know, so this way you have a little bit of like, you know, a baseline set up for your character. Anyways, it was a hot tip. Sorry to waste so much time on it, I thought this was an art tip right here. Wow. Hot art tip from 25 years of sculpting by Dehara, you know? So,
yeah.
There you go.
Hot
tip.
He's been doing it for a long time now. So,
yeah. I'm wondering. He knows. And he's quick. Like, he just can do it really fast. It's amazing.
Oh, that, again, experience, you know, and like, yeah, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
You know.
And his way, I guess, you know, like, I mean, there's always this people that are hooked on like maybe perfection or perfect rendering, or, you know, all those things, they matter to some people. His way definitely is loose. It's like, there is no mistake. You know what I mean? Like, his stuff can be a little messed up and it's okay. Like, that's just the aesthetic of it. And he gets away with that.
It's like that
ugly beauty wabi-sabi thing is just kind of
wabi-sabi.
Just the way Dehara does stuff is just, yeah, it can be fucked up and it's like perfect.
Wait, what's wabi-sabi? Is that like,
it's just like the way it kind of stuff ends up being, like,
is that a Japanese, you know, like, term?
Yeah, it kind of degrades a little and it sort of looks even better because of that, and you kind of enjoy that. Dehara is just kind of like that. It's just sort of, you know, like, if it gets dirty, even better. It's just like, it's, you know, like, there is no, I don't think there's like a perfect for that. It's okay. And it's so funny because, oh, this little kid was sculpting, and the little kid wanted to put a penis onto his, you know, he's a Dehara fan and he's like a 12-year-old, and he was trying to make a penis onto his figure. Okay. Right. He was trying to make a dick. Right. And the funniest thing was, so Dehara is really good with kids, you know, like, he's a good father, I think. Mm-hmm. And he's got a kid that's about what, in middle school. Mm. But the funniest thing was, I heard it in Japanese that he was making this penis, helping the kid make this penis for his character, and then it fell down, like, it fell off onto the ground. And I heard Dehara say, he said, wow, he said, this is really important and a very important thing. It's a very important thing. And he says, we have to be careful, and he put it back on. But he said it in Japanese. He said, oh, it's a very precious thing. He said, it's a very precious thing.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I don't know. Anyway, I thought that was funny.
He's a, you know, if you're a fan of his work, you know, anyone who's listening out there, you got to come and check out the show. It's, you know, I think he's amazing. I love his work. So,
yeah.
You know, and
he is.
Am I allowed to talk about the cry thing?
Cry thing.
The cry draw thing.
Oh, sure.
Okay. And then after freaking Dahara's little workshop, the following day you had a cry and draw. I finally attended. Is it draw and cry or cry and draw?
Technically draw and cry.
Draw and cry. It's kind of like a drink and draw, but without the drink.
There's drinks too if you want a drink. I mean, people are drinking beer and drawing and crying.
You know, this is like, this is my first time hearing of this thing.
It's kind of like a private invite only, thing. And it's not public, right? Like, we don't want like strangers just walking in going, I'll drink your beer and draw on your paper and steal your shit. You know what I mean? It's meant to be kind of private, but yeah, we do that.
Okay.
It's like both with artists, but yeah, it's not a public, like, the last thing I want are a bunch of like strangers running in there going crazy. And you can't have nice things in Los Angeles.
No, you can't. You really can't.
You will be sorry if you made that a free public thing with free beer and pizza and snacks, and it will be a disaster.
Right.
Yeah.
How often do you usually do these things? Like once a show or once a month or?
It's every week. No, I'm kidding. It's not. it's once in a while. Mm-hmm. Once a month, once every 2 months. I mean, sometimes it was weird. It was on a roll for a bit. We did them once a month, but maybe once every 2 months.
Wow.
Maybe. Something like that. It's just a get together. You know, we just check in with each other and hang out.
Yeah. And then finally.
Nothing too weird.
Finally decided to, like, you know, let me in on this.
Oh, you're invited to everyone, but it's too far. I can't come. It's too far. But yeah.
It is too far. It's on the west side of the 405.
But, you know, some of the artists, they came from West Covina and came and draw.
Who's based out of West Covina?
Oh, but we can't talk about who was there.
Oh, it's true. True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. But an artist. Or two, actually. Yeah. More than one.
Wow. Wow.
We can talk about who's there.
I'm obviously not friends with them because they're not like going, hey, man. Hey, Luke, you're on the way from West Covina. You want to come to the draw and cry? You know, let's go to the show. I have no friends.
No, everyone was just crying. We were all crying. the name just was kind of an accident, just kind of random. Yeah, but I think it's because there are drink and draws, which are like, maybe it's what's called sketch party, but
yep.
I used to think it was called drink and draw. Like, I literally thought that was the name. I was like, oh, you drink and draw and then drive, right? It's like, whatever. But yeah. I think more of it is just for us just to hang out. But I didn't know what to call it. So it just became draw and cry.
Yeah.
Because it's a little, we're more emo, I think, than like the beer drinking, like party animal drawing crowd, you know, the ones that they draw but they're partying and going crazy and listening to EDM. we're more like emo, so yeah, we might draw and cry instead of like drink and getting sloshed and picking up chicks or whatever it's going on and trying to draw better and picking up more chicks, whatever it is. We're kind of the opposite. We're more shy and we're like drawing and we might cry because we have feelings.
I know I've been to one of those drink and draws, the sketch parties.
I've actually never been, so I'm just making up my vision of these bros just drawing, and they're all buff. They're like muscular. They're all buff.
No, I think it's even more emo than your thing.
I kind of doubt it because, you know, ours is crying. It's like that's as emo as you get.
You know,
but you know, we don't have a bar thing, and we don't have like, I'm sure there's a, you know, like my vision of it is sports TV monitors everywhere, and there's sports everywhere, bros, and wet t-shirt contests. Oh, is there a wet t-shirt contest going on while they're drawing? I assume there's all this stuff. Okay, there's
it's like Silver Lake hipster, you know.
So. Oh no, that changes everything. Yeah. So that's draw and barf. It's like, oh, no, I'm kidding.
It's usually held in some hole in the wall. Like,
I'm sure it's fine. It's
very,
cool. It's great.
Chris is the guy who puts it on, is a nice guy. Yeah.
No, isn't it? Wait, isn't it Ken Garduno as well?
I think Ken might be a part of it.
I think he's part. I think he's been part of it from the get-go, right. Maybe.
But
yeah, no, it's a thing. It's like an institution. They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether or not it's even, like, still going on.
Oh, yeah, it is. No, they. I think...
Oh, apparently wait, it's not in there was one anymore.
There was one yesterday.
Oh, there was?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they kind of... It's at Benny Boy Brewery, wherever that is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know where that is. Nor. Anyways, now I made up this really false vision of it just to make ours sound so much more emo.
Yeah, it's yours is like catered to the
it's
soft
different.
Boys. To,
it's different.
To the
ours is like ours is shoegaze. It's a different man. You know, theirs is like Smashing Pumpkins and what's that group called from Silver Lake? Lazy Eye, the song with the Silver Sun Pickups.
I never even heard of these guys, but
it's a big band, I think. But yeah, they're you know, it's like you know, Beastie Boys shit.
Mm.
Ours is shoegaze.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
You know what's?
What's
interesting?
It's just fun.
The revival of shoegaze. Like people, like kids these days, are saying it as though like it hasn't been around for the past 30 years.
Yeah. And, I notice it's kind of in, but yeah. I've never left it, Matt.
Yeah, no, I've been there, you know, since the 90s. You know.
No. I'm actually so. Now that you brought that up, I've been listening to the Mickey Bereny, listening to it. I guess the audiobook.
Oh, really?
Because she reads it, so I'm hearing it in her voice, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, she has an autobiography that came out maybe, I want to guess, 6 months ago, maybe, or
right.
A year ago.
How is it?
And, but yeah, so far, been pretty fun to listen to.
Hmm.
You know, her stories are interesting. So yeah, it's been better than I expected.
Okay.
Yeah. So
does it make you
want
to listen
that.
To her album?
I already listened to her album. I don't listen to the last ones, I guess you would say, but
right.
Maybe the early ones, yes.
Yeah, I'm only familiar with the old Lush stuff.
So. Like, you don't listen to Spooky, I guess, is kind of like where it gets,
yeah, but that's
it starts
not
to change.
Mickey Bereny, that's like...
And then Lady Killers, it's called Lady Killers, right, the album?
Yeah.
And it's like, I didn't really listen to that.
That album wasn't... after that album, like, yeah, after Split... Which is the in my eyes the last like great Lush album, you know, yeah, I kind of tapped out, which is a little bit unfortunate, but yeah, like there's this I guess I could say it's a TikTok band called I think something like Rotten Mangoes or Bad Mangoes or something like that, and
right.
They kind of did like the Hopecore song, and you are familiar with like Hopecore videos, they're usually
no, I don't know what that is.
Hopecore videos are they're generally pretty funny and ironic, and it usually
Hopecore
Hopecore, and it usually has like, you know, someone like some found footage of someone ranting about something, and then they what they'll do is they'll play this guitar-y like song, you know, that went viral, and they'll like interlace it with like helicopter shots of like forests and mountains and, you know, and stuff like and deserts or whatever, and then they'll have the entire dialogue like, you know, spelled out, you know, in text, you know, as they're saying it, and then it usually ends in some really horrifically ironic kind of thing.
Wow. Yeah. Hopecore, everybody.
Hopecore.
I don't know what that is.
It was trending kind of like earlier this year. I don't know whether or not it's still a thing right now.
I'll check it out later.
Yeah, it's worth checking it out just for the lulz. So you know.
And also, there's that band that's kind of people give them a lot of credit now. It's called Whirr, WHIRR. They're a newer shoegaze group that seems to be pretty popular.
Mm.
And that's like. I mean, even so, I'm on the shoegaze subreddit on Reddit, you know, in their description, they mention My Bloody Valentine, Cocteau Twins, and Whirr, but they mention them in the same sentence just because they want to put somebody new in the list of what shoegaze is.
Right.
Although they're not like, you know, one of the greatest groups type of thing. They're good.
Mm.
But yeah, that's one of them.
The band is called Flawed Mangoes. And
Flawed Mangoes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Then like, you know, they have a pretty like I think they just released an album or something like that. And they tried doing a bunch of like an entire like social media campaign to tease it out. but like for some reason it just didn't hit, you know, probably because of the way people use social media these days.
Right.
Like I think what they did was they like clipped out like a 20-second clip of like the big song off the album, and I guess it was kind of like the peak of that song, and what once people heard it they were like, okay, whatever, you know, and it just any none of the new material kind of seemed to catch for some reason. I don't know, I haven't really listened to it, but you know, it yeah, seems cool. So, but anyways, check out Flawed Mangoes, you know, check out Hopecore. It's good stuff. But,
I will.
Anyways.
And check out Shoegaze in general. I don't know.
You know, there's
but
so many
all those groups are back, right? All those groups are all, most of them are back except for not Cocteau Twins, but.
Yeah. My Bloody Valentine are touring again, apparently.
Yeah. I think they have two dates in Japan, if I'm not mistaken, also upcoming. So yeah, no, there's a lot of that's happening. I mean, among everything that's kind of come back is, I mean, it's, Shoegaze is not exempt. They're right. Also back.
Yeah. I just saw Mogwai perform a couple weeks ago. Wow. And they played like in some venue kind of near downtown. And yeah, they were great. Like, wow. You know, earplugs on because, you know, my ears are can't handle the sound these days. So, yeah. But yeah,
they're rad.
What?
I said, no, they're rad.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, let me think, what have I been up to? I went to this thing in the Hollywood Bowl. I went to this like quote unquote Hollywood Bowl opening event, and I didn't know anyone there because, my girlfriend, Rachel, she is a food writer and, you know, this and that. And so she gets invitations to these kind of events, and she dragged me along with her, and we got to sample all of the new food that's going to be available at the Hollywood Bowl. And, yeah, you know, you got to stand on the stage of the Hollywood Bowl, which, you know, I guess not very many people get that opportunity.
Oh, wow.
So, and, yeah, was, you know, like the people.
So there's nobody sitting in the audience.
No.
Okay. Cause I was like wondering if it was full of people and they're just watching you guys eat.
Herbie,
I was like, what is this?
Herbie Hancock was there. And
did he play music?
No, he was just hanging out. He was just being like, I'm, you know, Herbie fucking Hancock. And
he was like, I'm going to try these fries. They're so good.
I'm going to try this, these small pizzas and, you know, like these little mini burritos that you guys are selling.
With truffle salt.
And
sprinkled truffle sprout salt.
I was, you know, I was thinking like, part of me was like, oh, you know, this is an opportunity to get a picture with Herbie Hancock. But then I was like, I don't know anything about Herbie Hancock. Aside from like that one song that
Rocket.
Rocket from the 1980s. Like, I don't, like, I never really listened to his Blue Note catalog. And I never really listened to like, you know, anything outside of Rocket. And it just kind of felt like, yeah, you know, it would be lame for like me to like, well, hey, my name's Luke Chu. I'm a big fan of the song Rocket. And I, at the time, I didn't even remember the name of the song. So, you know, like, I don't know. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to chill and, you know, watch. Like,
did you recognize him?
No, they pointed him out. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh. That's Herbie Hancock.
Wow.
So, but he's alive. Looks great. You know, not in a wheelchair. You know,
I don't even know what he would look like now. I think the last time I've seen a picture of him might have been 20 plus years ago. His hair must be gray.
It looks a little bit grayer, but like, you know, he's like, you know, rolling with the stereotype, you know, like, yeah, black don't crack. You know, he looks great.
Right on.
You know, so
cool. You know. Awesome. I don't know. I might have an album or two of his that's not Rocket, but I don't remember what it sounds like. I think it was more straight up jazz is what I have, but I can't remember. Yeah. I too would be a guilty party. Although I do remember the name of the song.
Did he do like Take Five or like any of those like, you know, kind of big jazz?
I'm sure maybe as a cover song. I don't think he wrote it, you know?
Right.
I'm sure he played it.
Yeah.
And if he hasn't, I'm sure he's played it at some point in his life. you could have lied and said that. I was there when you played Take Five. He'd have been like, yeah, well, I wonder what show. Like, he probably, you know.
Jazz standards.
Yeah, yeah. You just mentioned a jazz standard. He's probably had to have played it.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sure he's done like his own version of like Girl sure. from Ipanema and all this other stuff too. So
sure. No, he's a legend. Yeah. I don't know much enough about him either, though, frankly.
Yeah.
I'd be a poser if I would have said, hey, bro, you were the greatest. I'd be like,
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I always feel weird. Like every time, like, you know, I've met like Robert Williams a couple times, and like, you know, he's a fucking legend, but like, yes. You know, I'm just like, you're great. Okay. Bye.
Oh, I actually sat across from him at a dinner once.
Robert Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so I talked to him a bunch. And he was pretty like quiet, and only when anything got perverted did he get excited. like I mean, he's an older dude, but yeah, he sure gets excited because he's like a, you know, he's an artist who probably was, you know, like a lot of other artists, just probably introverted, quiet, or you know what I mean?
Right.
But like any kind of like. Anything to do with like women for him, he just got all excited and dorky though, like geeky, like geeky excitement, you know. Like he was telling stories about how he was drawing a nude model with somebody else, and I forgot, and it just they're all giggly or something. It got all awkward. I don't know. Like he was just giggling the whole time and laughing. That's when he started getting excited. It was kind of funny.
See, like I.
You know, and it was one of those things that you've been to. What's it called?
Baby Tattoo.
Yeah, that. And it was like an early one, long time ago. And he was talking about in a hotel room, they had a nude model and they were drawing. And, you know, and it got to like something and something happened and he just started giggling.
Was that the story? It was a story about Baby Tattooville or something like that?
I don't know. Maybe them in a hotel room with a nude model or something.
Yeah, that sounds like a Michael Husser story.
But it was just funny because, you know, that's the only time he got super animated was anything to do with a naked woman or something. He got, but it's geeky excited. It wasn't like cool. It was like, oh my God, this guy's completely like geeky, hilarious, you know? Like he got really funny. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, he's.
Before that, he was kind of quiet and playing it cool. But yeah, once that happened, he started giggling. Yeah,
he got into it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm too.
But he's a legend. Like he's a legend. What's that?
I feel like I'm too prudish to be like, you know, allow myself to be like, you know, like all excited about like, you know,
nude model.
Yeah, nude model.
But a nude model did something funny or something. It wasn't just giggling at a nude model. It was like maybe she cut a fart or I don't know what happened. All I know is he just got excited about something that happened.
I mean, that would be great.
But it wasn't like It wasn't like, oh, we had a three-way. It wasn't like that. It was more like, yeah, she did this and that and this and that. And it was like, oh, my God. And we were starting, you know, then I was like, okay. I was like, I got you. You know, it was more like that. It wasn't bro cool. It was like geeky, like, oh, my God, she's naked. You know, like, it was more on that kind of level of, it was like almost childish sounding, you know. But yeah, he's cool. He was actually really cool.
Anything coming up this week?
Man. Okay, so starting tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Los Angeles Art Book Fair.
Oh, shit.
So it's not at MoCA this year. Unfortunately, it is at Art Center South Campus. And I don't know how that's going to be, but I know it's split up into separate buildings. So, you know, you definitely aren't going to be under one roof. It's going to be kind of spread out, and I'm sure they had a venue issue because of I think an art exhibition at the MoCA location.
Art
otherwise I think it's going to be just this year, this in this way. I think next year or whenever it's back,
dude,
it should be back in Mocha.
I'm looking for it right now, so because I feel like I need to get tickets for this thing, you know.
So they have entry hours. I don't know how that works, but yeah, it's $5. But I mean, they have timed entries, but I don't know. I think they did that, if I'm not mistaken, at Mocha as well. So
right,
they did some kind of timed entry thing at the last year of it. Was it last year, maybe, or year before?
Opening night is $30.
Yeah, you know, and so my experience of that from the Mocha past years is that, yay, we don't have good sales. That's a real. Everybody leaves empty-handed. Nobody's buying anything. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a glass of wine in their hand and no books. You know, literally, I remember it being a kind of a bad sales day, and it was more of like a evening party, whatever.
So that's what you're doing tomorrow.
Unfortunately, yeah, I'm supposed to do that. I have to set up and then work that tomorrow night. But then yeah, I just know that it doesn't really do well. It's kind of look at me, I'm wearing a dress, or look at me, I'm wearing a cool shirt or a suit or a whatever, you know, or it's sort of like that. It's like I'm there to be seen, but I just remember last year, nobody had a bag of books.
Wow.
It was empty. Everyone was empty handed. That's what I remember, like leaving, you know, when everyone was leaving.
I'm looking on Saturday. It's okay. I'm looking at Saturday, and there's only 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. available right now.
I bet Sunday is wide open, correct? Am I wrong?
Sunday is free, and that's like the biggest shitstorm.
Is it bad on Sunday? I think Saturday is busier than Sunday. Dude, like usually
I was fucking, I think the last time we were there, which was 2 years ago, I guess. I think I was,
did it not happen last year? I guess not, huh?
I think, weren't you telling me that it's like an every other year thing?
I don't know. Yeah. But I already forgot. Did it happen last year or is it 2 years ago? Time has flown. Isn't that sad? I feel like it was last year, but. Was it?
Yeah, I feel
maybe
like,
it wasn't.
No, I think it was 2 years ago. It's amazing how time flies.
I know, and I think they're supposed to be alternating years, evidently. But then I noticed that the New York Art Book Fair is going to take place this year.
Mm.
So they had it last year, too. So maybe they're just going to do it annual from now on. Or maybe LA is just going to be every 2 years. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, but I hope it's every year because it is pretty... I like it.
Okay. Maybe I... Should, I don't know, like maybe I should buy tickets. I don't know. Like,
I don't know either. And I have to read up on it because I don't really understand how it's going to work. Or do I have extra tickets? I don't know.
I'm trying to think of what books that I've bought like a book on what's his name? I'm blanking on his name right now. The Japanese guy who like does the robots, the sexy robots.
Sariyama.
Yes, I bought a Sariyama book there. Before the pandemic, maybe 6 years ago or something. And I think that's like one of the few things that I kind of took away from that event. And actually, it was funny because I think that was the year that you had me like. Sitting at your booth doing some kind of signing thing.
Oh, and then the drawing ended up on eBay.
Yeah, so it was three people showed up with freaking canvases and, you know, and asked me to draw on it. And I was like, what the fuck? And I literally drew like a fucking bear on it with huge words on it that said something along the lines of like, this is...
Fan art? No, what'd you call it? Fan service.
This is fan service? Yeah.
And then they sold it, right? Or put it for sale.
They tried selling it. I have no idea whether or not it actually sold. I hate Googling or eBaying my own name.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah.
I'm going to, next week, I think from Tuesday to Wednesday, I'm going to go to the Licensing Expo in Las Vegas.
Oh, I've always wanted to go to that. Gosh.
Yeah, it's $35 to attend.
Oh, that's not bad. I thought it was expensive, like hundreds of dollars.
No. It's only $35. And
wow.
I want to go and check it out. I want to like see like what I don't really know anything about licensing.
Me neither. I'd love to go and look. I don't know much. I'd love to see it.
I'll report in next week. If not Wednesday, then Thursday for sure.
What days are you going to that?
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh, so is that the days it takes place?
It takes place all week, I think, or at least 3 days.
So you paid ahead of time, or can I just show up and pay and get in?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Okay, so you already bought a ticket or whatever.
Yeah, I bought a ticket with like the plans of like checking out. But you know, it doesn't hurt to like, you know.
I don't know if I'm really going or not. If I do, it'll be a miracle. That means I just said fuck it, I'm going, and I drove down there and I'm doing it. But I doubt I'm doing it.
You know,
I like the idea of it. I've always wanted to see it. I've always been curious about it. And
if you decide you want to do it from like Wednesday to Thursday, I might have a. You know, I might be able to hook you up. So.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
Okay.
Like after I fucking head out.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, but, and I'll be Luke Chu walking around.
Yeah, it's Luke Chu. Like, he'd like sit there and spit on my name and fucking, it'll be great.
Luke Chu.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. Yeah.
Anyways. Well, you want to call it a wrap for tonight?
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap, guys.
Robot and the Bear, we're out.
Peace. And then, you know, we put the fucking... I used AI to create theme music for Robot and the Bear.
Oh, you're okay.
But like...
Okay.
My microphone,
I couldn't
my,
hear it, though.
My microphone doesn't fucking, like, you know, doesn't play it.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad. It's super sad.
I like it.
You know, I...
Are you gonna try one more time?
I'm going to try
one more time. I don't know why it didn't work.
Let's see whether or not it plays it.
Maybe it needs to be further away. I don't quite know.
I don't know. Are the speakers down here from the bottom of the phone?
I have no idea.
Let me see.
I assume it's on the top.
Turn it up.
It's at the top.
Can you hear anything?
It's at the top, isn't it?
No,
I can't really hear it. No.
Oh no. Strange. Yeah. I thought I didn't. You know, did I turn off?
You just cut out.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I thought you could just sing your own version better, but
oh,
okay.
There you go. Can you hear it now?
Oh, that works. Yeah.
Yeah. I just you know, yeah. Anyways.
Wow, is this Herbie Hancock?
Herbie on the keys.
So that's an AI music?
That is AI music there, buddy.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh yeah, now I can hear it. There it is.
Yep. And I wrote the lyrics to the song.
It just really?
Says, yeah. It just says Robot and the Bear 3 times, and then podcast.
Oh my god. Whose voice is that mimicking?
AI.
Oh. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yep.
It sounded like it was going to be a Madonna music. That's what I thought it would be, like Holiday or something.
Yep. Here I am stealing jobs from freaking hardworking musicians.
Wow. Yeah, I guess. Well, would you ever pay a musician to do that? No. So there's no job being stolen.
We're not making money doing this. We're just having,
yeah,
we're doing it for the shits and giggles.
Shits and giggles. Okay.